News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside of the broad range of our AM FM capabilities here at WVNN, it does not matter. It does not matter at all. So listen, all you got to do is go to our website. And I'm going to tell you more about the website, too. Listen, rightsideradio.org. That's our website, rightsideradio.org. You go on there, click on the tab that says Listen Live, and hit that little green button, Listen Live, and bam, no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we have people that listen to the show from basically all over the place. We get out-of-state callers. We get emails. We get notifications. I mean, I know for a fact that people are listening in Louisiana, Texas, Virginia, Rome, Indiana, Tennessee. Listen, this is a far-ranging show, so thank you for that. It's an honor to have all of y'all with us. And listen, there's more on that website. One of the things I wanted to point out to you is that if you're a podcaster, and we do a lot of podcasting, all right, so basically every single day the show in all of its breadth and glory, right? So Copper cuts it down into segments. Like, she'll take it and say, like, here's one interview, here's Copper's Corner, here's Phil's monologue, yada, yada. Breaks them up into segments and puts them out there where Birdman can get it. Birdman takes them and uploads them into virtually every podcast format known to man. And those are all on the website. And you can download segments of the show. You can send one to somebody who you want to have hear it, or you can just re-listen to a part yourself. They're all usually available by the same evening the show is on. And it's very cool. We are now well over 27,000 downloads as of this weekend and climbing exponentially. But the last thing, and I'm kind of excited about this. I'm really kind of stoked. I got to say this a couple times a day, so don't get tired of it. But so we have the Right Side Store, Copper, the Right Side Store.
Yep, those socks, man.
The socks. See, that's what I was about to say. The socks were apparently a huge deal. And so the socks sold out. We got more socks.
Nice.
So, but I've got a special today. So if you go on the website, rightsideradio.org, at the very top is a button that says the Right Side Store. I'm looking at it right now. Coffee mugs, stainless steel water bottles with the logo on it, stickers, phone cases, go figure, t-shirts, and my favorite, still to this day, socks. I'm loving the socks. All right, so Right Side Radio socks are on there. You can get those too. And today only, as you check out, you can type in the promo code Valentine. This is only for our listeners who hear me on the radio saying it. Type in the promo code Valentine and get 14% off of your purchase today. So if you want something from the Right Side Store, this is the day to do it. Yep. Right Side Radio socks, coffee mugs, all of it. I think I'm going to order more socks, take advantage of my own promo code. But anyway, 14% off with the promo code Valentine for today. Copper, do you have any Right Side Radio socks yet? Do we need to get you some?
I do not. I should get some.
We got to get you some socks. Okay. Maybe I'll make that my happy Valentine's thing for you just today. I'll get you some socks. You need them. Everybody needs socks. Socks are good. That's not very nice, though, is it? Just buy you socks for Valentine's Day.
I mean, I am down for socks.
you know the joke
about how socks are a lame Christmas present? Well, I saw a poll on social media asking people if they still thought socks were a lame Christmas present, and all the adults were like, give me all the socks, please. I agree.
That's good. That's a sign of maturity, I think, when you want socks. Right? I think so. Sure, why not? I mean, golly bum, especially when they have a Right Side Radio logo on them. How cool is that? But yeah, we'll find a way to get you some socks, my friend.
Okay, cool.
All right. Hey, something else is happening this week, tomorrow, actually. We'll be talking about this throughout the show, too. So you hear me talking a lot about school choice right now because it's a big, hairy deal. School choice, to me, is one of the biggest issues that our state legislature could possibly deal with. Well, tomorrow, through the work of the Alabama Policy Institute, of which I am a part, we have coordinated for School Choice Day at the Alabama State House tomorrow. So I'll be down there myself and Birdman, Copper back here running the board, keeping the trains moving on time. I'll be broadcasting the show live from the Alabama State House tomorrow. We've got at 11:30, if you want to come down, if you're a school choice proponent and you believe it's time that the State House, the legislators, the senators, and the House of Representatives, if they heard, the time they heard from you, tomorrow's the day. At 11:30, we're gathering on the steps outside the State House. We have confirmation right now, well over 100 people saying they're going to be there. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, Representative Charlotte Meadows, State Republican Party Chairman John Wall, and myself will all be speaking to the group. And then folks will have a chance to go on in, start meeting their senators and representatives, and begin, you know, confirming for them that the teachers union is not the only voice in this discussion. There are people that believe that parents and legal guardians should have a say in what is best for their child. And we're 50th in the nation, so by golly, let's do something different. That's tomorrow at 11:30 at the State House. I'll remind you of that more as the show goes on. All right, folks, coming up in a minute, we're digging right in. School choice is now. I'm going to talk about that for a while. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So listen, triple dipper for the day. Number one of the triple dipper, school choice is now, all right? That is the thing. We are saying, look, you don't wait any longer. So if your house is on fire, do you wait until like a better day to be able to put the fire out? No, the fire is going on now. All right, we're 50th in the nation right now. Now. And oh, by the way, we are flush with cash. And when I say that, I am not kidding, y'all. This is the most fiscally sound Alabama we have ever had. Now, some of that dates back to the 2010 class that I got to be a part of coming into the Alabama State Senate. We did some things. We immediately put some budget processes in place that changed the dynamic. One of the things that had happened on and on and on was the Democrats, when they were in charge for 136 straight years, by the way, when the Democrats were in charge, they would do whatever they wanted to do and just go ahead and let the budget go into proration mid-year. Well, proration means they had to cut the budget mid-year because revenues didn't match budgeting, which means you were never truly balanced in the first place. So we changed the budgeting processes. You have not heard the word proration come out of Montgomery now in 11 years because of the things we put in place back in 2010, 11, and 12. I'm sorry, 11 and 12 and 13. We also took the immediate steps of putting in place what is known as a rolling reserve account in our education budget. Alabama has two budgets, education and general fund, all right? Education is everything education, and general fund is everything else in the world it takes to run the state. The education budget, we immediately put in place what's known as a reserve. Basically, we have a savings account. We set aside a certain amount of the money's revenues every year to make sure that we have a reserve account so that we can't go into proration. In the event of a shortfall year, we've got money set aside to make it up. That's just proper budgeting, right? Other things we did was we made sure that we pretty much took the teachers union out of the fray. We gave them everything they had been giving out for years. We emasculated the ability of the teachers union to have sway in Montgomery. We made sure that the state was no longer going to pay for them to have their dues collected for them. It used to be the most galling thing in the world. Here was the teachers union controlling state politics. And I don't mean a little bit, y'all. I mean literally Paul Hubbard, who was the head of the teachers union, would sit in the gallery. Now, my recollection was it was a thumbs up, thumbs down to tell people down below in the gallery how to vote. Or sometimes he would touch his eye to say aye for the vote or his nose to say no for the vote. But the bottom line is he gave them signals from the gallery. I watched him sitting up there presiding. He was like Caesar at the Colosseum. And he would literally sit up there and stare down, and the legislators would oftentimes look up to him to see how they're supposed to vote on the bills. That's how bad it was. This is not hyperbole. This is real. This happened in Alabama for a long, long time. Well, in 2010, when the Republican class came in, the first thing we did was said, you know what? One of the reasons why you're so powerful is because you've got tons of money because you scare teachers every single year to believing they have to join the AEA. They don't have a choice. And oh, by the way, that means money comes out of their paycheck for their dues, even though their dues might go to candidates for office that they would never support on their own. Happened constantly. Well, the first thing we looked at was, wait a minute. Those teachers have a state paycheck. How's that money getting to the AEA? Oh, that's right. The state employees were actually typing in the data to withdraw the funds to send a check to the AEA. So the teachers union had it going on, man. They had it worked out where teachers felt compelled to join. And once they did, their state paycheck had a state deduction for their dues. And then they got the check from the state treasury department. It was just a perfect system. When you looked at the retirement system that was about to collapse when we got into office in 2010 or 2011, fall of 2010 is when we came in, 2011 is when we began to really legislate. But one of the things that we did was we mandated that Dr. Bronner from the RSA come and speak to the legislature for the first time, and he did not like it. But Dr. Bronner himself presented that there were two independent studies that said that the teacher's retirement system could potentially collapse by the early 2020s if we didn't make some changes. His suggestion, and by the way, the teachers union did not want this getting out, but I told him, his suggestion was that we require state employees, teachers included, to contribute more to their own retirement. Oh, sacrilege! How dare you! Well, what it did, though, was it propped up their system. Who was going to pay for it? What's going to happen when it collapses? So we propped up the retirement system and got it solvent. In the meantime, there were some goodie programs mixed in there, one of which was called the DROP program. The DROP program was the biggest, you know, I was about to say something I shouldn't say. The bottom line was the DROP program should have never happened. It was a greed fest. It was an opportunity for cronies to make money, and some rank and file got in there too, but you know who the biggest, by the way, the biggest retirement plans in the entire teacher's retirement system, you know who they were? The top two officials at the AEA, the teachers union. They're not even teachers. Never been in the classroom. And they were the top two with multi-million dollar retirement accounts because they got it written into state law by legislators they controlled to make sure that members of the teachers union, regardless of whether they were actually teachers, got into the state retirement plan to include the, you know, the candy-coated plan that they had put in place called DROP. We did away with DROP. Caused a furor. We were game for the fight back then. What I'm not seeing right now, folks, is a legislature that is game for the fight. Let me just tell you, I know for a fact right now. For instance, State Senator Tom Butler, who's in this listening area, State Senator Tom Butler just took, he's taken $25,000 so far from the teachers union for his campaign account. So they're paying for Tom Butler, a Republican, $25,000 to run for office. The guy who took my seat, Senator Andrew Jones, down in the Etowah County area in Senate District 10, has taken $15,000 from the AEA. And those are just two of many Republicans in the State House. By the way, the State Republican Party still has a platform resolution. I say a platform. A resolution on record urging that all elected officials in the state of Alabama who run on the Republican ticket not take money from the teachers union. But they're doing it anyway. Meanwhile, on their watch, we dropped to 50th in the nation in education. By the way, thank you to Steve and Madison, who sent me a link to an article today from Wallet Hub ranking the most educated and least educated states in the nation. You can imagine where Alabama might rank. We were in the bottom four of the least educated states in the nation. Now, I know some wonderful, intelligent people. I'm a product of the public school system, graduated from Grissom High School right there in Huntsville. All of this to say, there's a high level of education in this state. When you look at UAB, when you look at the number of doctorates per capita and the engineering degrees in Huntsville, when you look at, you know, the medical school down at South Alabama, and I'm just saying, this is not by a stretch an ignorant state. This is the place where the space industry got off the ground. This is the state that literally is the home to the Air Force War College down at Maxwell Air Force Base. But folks, our reputation is not that. Our reputation is not that. And the teachers union is paying Republicans in violation of their own state resolution, their own party's state resolution, paying them for their campaigns. And oh, by the way, we are seeing zero school choice. So this is a problem, a huge problem. Got an article right here from The Federalist. TheFederalist.com, dated, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. The title of it is, Democrats are making Virginia-style anti-parent mistakes in Wisconsin. Well, I would add to that and say, Democrats and Alabama Republicans are making Virginia-style anti-parent mistakes in Wisconsin. Woo! Did I just say that? Yeah, I did. Yeah, boy, he just went on down there, didn't he? Yeah, he did. So the Federalist starts off with, you would think that after Democrats whooping in the Virginia gubernatorial race over education issues that their party would stop antagonizing fed-up parents with the same messages, but no, they're not. It goes on to talk about, and I'll play a clip on about somebody talking about this later, but there's a state representative, Lee Snodgrass, a Democrat, it's a female Lee Snodgrass, a Democrat state lawmaker in Wisconsin, who tweeted out a few days ago. Her tweet said, quote, if parents want to have a say in their child's education, they should homeschool or pay for private school tuition out of their family budget. Nah. But you know what, though? Here's the thing. What she said, you know, openly is exactly what Alabama Republicans are saying quietly right now. Because right now there is legislation before the body in the House and Senate literally would allow for the first time in Alabama history for the tax dollars that are paid by all of us into this state towards the education budget to be allowed to reflect the needs of the child and not the needs of the system. And yet we cannot get the bill moving yet because we have too many weak sisters down there who've forgotten what it means to fight the teachers union because they're too busy taking their freaking money for the campaign. And by God, it makes me mad because the biggest fights we had when I was down there was the teachers union. And I've said it before on the show. I got the hate mail. I got all the nasty grams. I got lampooned and caricatured more than once in the AEA Journal. It was a badge of honor. I had one of them laminated hanging on the wall of my Senate office. I had hate mail delivered to my house without a stamp on it, meaning that they came to my house and put it in my mailbox personally. I had to open a file at the sheriff's office because of some of the things that were coming to my mailbox. And I was not the only one. I don't say that like, oh, look at Phil. He stood. No, there was a group of us that stood up. Myself and Bill Holtzclaw and Paul Sanford and Dick Brubaker and Del Marsh and Clay Schofield and a number of us that were in the Senate and a whole bunch in the House. Every one of us got in there in 2010, 2011, and we looked at it and said, this changes now. And then a third of us, satisfied with the work that we had done, decided to leave in 2018. A third of the legislature left at one time. And since then, apparently the new end thing to do is take money from the teachers union and make sure we don't pass any more school choice bills. That's scary stuff. Well, folks, I'm just mad. And that's why tomorrow I am proud to be one of the coordinators for School Choice Day at the State House at 11:30 on the State House steps. There's going to be a large group of people down there gathering. Myself and Charlotte Meadows and State Party Chairman for the Republican Party, John Wall, and Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. We're going to address the crowd, and then everybody's going to have a chance to go inside and walk the halls and shake hands and tell legislators, look, we really need this. We're 50th in the nation. What is your plan? School choice has got to happen now. Well, I just ran long. Copper, you let me go on a rant. You let me go on a rant. Just going. Let's go ahead and move to a break, Copper. When we get back from that, I'll keep moving forward on this. And at top of the hour, I got Justin Bogey calling in, talking about interesting dynamic down there in the State House, when apparently the majority leader in the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, who I know personally, decided, you know, there's just not enough time to work on a big bill like that. What are you talking about, Nathaniel? You got all the time in the world if you want to do it. You did a gas tax that way. You had a gas tax out. By God, that gas tax got passed in like, what, 8 days? Jeez. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and apparently just plain mad. We'll be right back. Oh, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, yeah, listen, this is a hot topic, okay? And we got a lot of stuff going on here. I know I got a caller on the line, but I've got something pre-scheduled I've got to do first. Carper, are you good with that Cyber Minute? You good with that? Is that it on the board right there? Ready to roll? Good deal. So listen, folks, one of our sponsors is Bellwether Technology, but they don't just do an ad. They're doing something that kind of contributes back. And I want to play this every Monday for you during the 2:30 hour or 2:30 section, the Cyber Minute, we call it, Bellwether Technology, giving you some insight, by the way, on things that you may not know, but you better. Go ahead and play it, Copper.
The Cyber Minute.
Welcome to the Cyber Minute, brought to you by Bellwether Technology, www.bellwethertechnology.com. Today's Cyber Minute, what is a denial of service attack? In its simplest terms, a denial of service attack, or DOS, is when so much data is sent to a system that it overloads the ability to process it, causing the system to lock up, slow down, or crash, and become unavailable. Using multiple devices from multiple different sources becomes what is called a distributed denial of service attack, or DDoS. How do hackers generate a DDoS? The most common is when hackers create botnets of hacked and pirated devices around the internet. They then configure these devices to generate or bounce a data package and send it to a targeted system over and over again, flooding the system. They can pirate those devices either by exploiting vulnerabilities in the device's code or simply using default out-of-the-box username and password if people don't update them after installation. Typically, hackers don't target individual internet users, but they will try to hack your IoT devices to add to their botnets. A massive DDoS attack in 2016 affected over 66 major internet systems for companies like Netflix, PayPal, and Amazon.com. The attack used millions of hijacked IoT devices like security cameras and baby monitors and affected Europe and North America. So what can you do to help prevent these types of attacks? Well, the simplest, change your IoT device username and password from the default settings that come out of the box. Another is make sure your IoT device software is up to date. Check your device manufacturer's website for information. The Cyber Minute takes geek speak in the cyber world and translates them into topics that non-technical people can enjoy and learn from. So come with me as we explore, reveal, and talk our way through modern technologies and the issues they bring to our daily lives. This has been your Cyber Minute. I'm your host, Chris Williams. I'll see you next time.
That was just cool. Botnet. I don't think I'd ever realized to the full extent that hackers will set up multi-millions of basically fake accounts to then assault a system on... I mean, Copper, that's what he was talking about, right? Like grabbing... like this assaulting, almost like a bombarding or a barrage of trying to gather data all at one time from a system or log into a system.
Ooh, yeah, that's creepy.
It is creepy. And you know what? These people, I mean, if they put this much time into building a real product, I mean, God. But they, you know, they spend all their time investing, you know, scads of technology and know-how into something illegal. What would their lives be like if they could generate something like that from a legal standpoint? Hey, listen, tell our caller who held on the line, I appreciate his time. We weren't able to get that call, but he can call back later in the show and we'll be glad to have him. In fact, somewhere around 2:20, I'll probably have some time before our 2:30 caller. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Coming back right now after the top of the hour, we got the news, and then we've got Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute going to talk about what's going on in Montgomery and are they ever going to get to school choice. Oh, the attitude appears to be a little lackadaisical right now. Yep. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.